So history is nothing but a history of wars. And our children complain, what is there to study in history? It is nothing but history of wars. Constantly people come and quarrel and then they become victorious and again be defeated. This is all. Even the story of Mahabharata is what? The story for domination. The story of conquest. The means by which you can influence large number of people. This is what Duryodhana wanted. So a large chunk of human history was the manifestation of the vital energy. And if you study even history much more neatly and much more carefully, you'll find that even there were certain subtle designs. Because even vital has many aspects. I told you just now, acquisition, possession, domination, enjoyment, influence and so on. So some wanted only domination, some wanted enjoyment, some wanted acquisition, some wanted possession. Some wanted just to enjoy the quarrel for the sake of quarrel. So there was a long period given to mankind to work out these vital and to learn out of it and then ask oneself, so what if I do all this? And today's mankind is asking this question, even children ask the question, so what if you conquer this or conquer that? This is a learning from human history, and today humanity has learned what is war and why should there be war. Even the questioning of war, at one time there was no questioning. People thought that war is the normal way of life. There should be wars. But today we ask the question, why should there be wars at all? So you might say mankind has therefore progressed from that point to this point. Third is the development of the mind. If mankind has made a progress in the field of the mind, then we may say in a certain sense that mankind has really made a progress, because man is fundamentally distinguished from the others by his rationality, by his mentality. So let us look at the history now from the point of view of mental development. Now, as far as mental development is concerned, one of the best examples is the Greek civilization, the Greek culture. One of the earliest developments in human history is illustrated in Greek history. India also is a very great example in this respect. China also is a great example in this respect. These three particularly, as far as mental development of early history is concerned, we can examine them and see what they did, what they achieved. In India, intellectuality was given a tremendous place. Even if you read Mahabharata, there may be dispute as to who wrote Mahabharata, whether there was only one writer who wrote Mahabharata and all that. But the fact is that we have got this big book before us. Whoever might have written, there are 1 lakh of verses there. To produce this gigantic work of 1 lakh verses is a tremendous intellectual feat by any standard. It is a tremendous feat because it contains, as it is said, what is not in Mahabharata is not anywhere else. And all that is there is in Mahabharata. This is what is being said. And not absolutely without basis. Every possible subject is discussed in Mahabharata. Not only discussed cursorily, but in detail. Even Bhagavad Gita, which is a part of the Mahabharata, you can see that it is a detailed exposition of what is karma, what is not karma, what is jnana, what is bhakti, what is the highest achievement. And you might even say profusely it has been discussed. And the better to you to discuss such a long question and such a long, at such length. Whether it happened or not is a different question, but the fact is that we have this Bhagavad Gita in our hands, which is sufficiently long and sufficiently detailed. And even production of this book, only this little episode, is a tremendous achievement from intellectual point of view. Apart from spiritual point of view, intellectually even, it's a tremendous feat to produce 700 verses and to put into them so many subjects and with so much of clarity, so much of precision, that even today when we try to understand, we take so much time to understand it. But there is only one episode. But look at the dialogues that we have of Vidura, Vidura Niti, of how to govern. It's a great long discussion how to govern. Even dialogue between Bhishma and Yudhishthira as to how to govern the state. Even when he was on the deathbed, he discusses how to govern the state properly. And everywhere the question is why it should be done, how it should be done, in what proper manner it should be done. So it is like a shastra, a scientific inquiry into every possible subject is given in Mahabharata. So Mahabharata itself is a great example of robust intellectuality. And not merely that, Mahabharata is only one example. What about Ramayana? And then what about shastras of various kinds which developed? There are six Vedangas, first of all. After the Vedas, there are six Vedangas. Then there are four Upavedas. This is in early times. And all of them are so well defined and so intellectually chiseled. It's an amazing treat. And then if you look into the development of mathematics, astronomy, astrology, medicine, and all kinds of sciences. It is said India developed 64 sciences and 64 arts. This is in ancient India. In other words, human history emphasized the development of the mind very intensively. Now go to Greece. There also there was a tremendous emphasis on aesthetics, science and art of beauty. That's why art, sculpture particularly in Greece. Even today, we regard Greek sculpture as something supreme. They developed before 4th century BC. Development of philosophy. Socrates and Plato. It is said that Plato wrote so greatly that entire history of Western philosophy is footnotes to Plato. So how much he wrote, if you really look at the dialogues of Plato and the intellectual heights, supreme heights of intellectuality, you find in Plato. China invented so many things in the earliest times. In fact, most of the inventions of ancient times came to us from China or over the world. In other words, even when physical was being developed, vital was being developed, mind was not left behind. Human history ensured that even mental development was greatly developed. In the field of spirituality, we saw that the people who wrote Upanishads and the Vedas must have been spiritually very great. But the attention of history was not on spirituality. It was not on intellectuality. It was largely on the physical and the vital. Unless they are sufficiently developed, greatly cultivated, greatly established, the other edifices cannot remain for long. Therefore, they collapsed. So why do they collapse? The answer is they collapse because the attention of history is first to build up the physical and the vital. That is why intellectuality and spirituality, which were being developed from time to time, they collapse from time to time.